I want to always make the announcement that there's this series and all other series, hundreds of series and hundreds more of sermons online at www.lifegatechurch.com. Anything you want to search, just go to the sermons page, go to the site map, and it'll take you to anything you'd probably want to ever look at and study. And then, of course, on Facebook, it's Lifegate Church. It's three words. Lifegate is two words, not one word. After we became Lifegate, the whole bunch of other churches became Lifegate. So we're a two-word Lifegate, Lifegate Church. So if you don't put that in, you won't find us. Lifegate Church. We're talking about pride and its destructive powers. And every single one of us, and this is what I want us to see today, are going to struggle with pride. You're going to struggle with pride. And what I want to do today is I want to look at an individual, a pretty obscure individual that shouldn't be but is in the Scriptures. His name is Uzziah. He is a king. He was a king in Israel, 800 B.C., around that time, 2,800 years ago. And he was an amazing man, as we'll see. But the amazing and destructive powers of pride was able to decimate his life, was able to destroy him and what he had accomplished, and took his name out of a household word that we should hook up with David and with Solomon, and it should be Uzziah. But because of pride, he lost that. So let me introduce you to King Uzziah. He's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 1. Here it says, "Then all the people of Judea took Uzziah, who was how old? 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father Amaziah. He was the one who rebuilt Ephah and restored it to Judea after Amaziah rested with his fathers." Uzziah was 16 years old. That's the second time that it's saying this to us. 16 years old when he became king. That's a double emphasis. Now, the restoration of that city doesn't mean anything to us other than it tells us a part of his. One of the main things that he did was rebuild cities. So going on from there, now the next slide. And he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years, which means he was 68 years old when he died. His mother's name was Jedidiah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as. Now, I need you to hold on to that term, just as, because that's going to come important here in a moment. I want you to see something. Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, the primary prophet. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him. He was instructed by the mightiest prophet in the land, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, now here's the part that I really want us to get, as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. Now, that's kind of an uh-oh statement there to me. You know, that sentence says, as long as he sought the Lord, doesn't that infer something to you that's not said? I mean, it's like, what happens? What does that mean? Doesn't that mean that there were times when he didn't seek the Lord and God didn't give him success? What happened then when God didn't give him success? What would happen? Did he stop seeking the Lord, so God pulled back the success in his life? Now, I want to bring the point here. What about you and me? Have you ever had a verse 5 in your life where things had been going really well in your life? You were seeking God. You were doing what you knew that the Lord wanted you to do with your life. The family was going well. The finances were going well. Life was good. Occupation was going well. Everything about your life was being blessed, and you were just prospering and doing well. And something, for some reason, you stopped seeking the Lord. Now, what was that? You stopped seeking the Lord, and then eventually, not immediately, but eventually, the blessings of God pulled back on your life. You stopped feeling the blessings and seeing the blessings of God, and things turned sour in your life. Well, what happened? Why did you stop seeking the Lord? It was pride. Pride. And I want us all to understand that pride has this devastating effect on us. And one of the first things to realize when of pride, the haughty spirit of pride coming on your life where destruction is imminent, the haughty spirit of pride, one of the first things you got to realize is you stop seeking the Lord. And what this does is bring in destruction. So when we stop seeking the Lord, that's an indication that pride, the haughty spirit of pride, is taking us over. Now, It says there, it gave us a lot of information there about Uzziah. A bunch of stuff it was said. But the main thing that I really want to bring out and make sure that we see is that it double emphasized that he was 16 years old. Just this question. What would it take for you and me? We can't do it because of our Constitution, but what would it take for you and me to vote in a 16-year-old boy to run this nation? A miracle? I mean, you know, you would think that that's an indication of the stupidity of the people of Israel, but it's not. Actually, it's about the wisest thing they had done in a long, long time, and I'll show you. But what would it require you to submit yourself, your family, everything you have, submit it to a 16-year-old boy? What would it take? Now, here's the point. Here's the point that I want you to see. This guy, this kid, this young man, this Uzziah guy, he had something going on. There was something extremely special about him, and you'll see it. There was something extremely extraordinary about him. He had abilities. He has this power. He's got a capability of expanding and becoming one of the greatest kings that this nation's ever had. But here's the thing I want you to see. Where did this ability and power come? From where did it come? Was it something that he had that he was just he conjured up himself? Was it a power of his own ability? Where does that come from? And what I want us to bring it to is you and me. We're special. You're special. Aren't you special? Are you special? Are you special? Yes. All right. I'm special. You're special. But why are we special? What makes us special? Is it because we make ourselves special? No, I want you to see something. You see, the Apostle Paul, of all the apostles, accomplished more than any of the other apostles. In fact, more than all of the other apostles put together. He accomplished more. But he knew that it wasn't him that was doing this work, that wasn't causing this effect that he was having on the world. And so I want to read to you what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. It says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Paul knew that it was not him and his power and his abilities. It was God's grace in his life. Now, what is the grace of God? The grace of God is God's enablement. It's God's giving you powers and abilities and strength and wisdom. It's God imparting into our lives to do things. And this is what Paul says. I am what I am by the grace of God, but I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. Paul's effect on the world was because of the grace of God. He goes on, no, I worked harder than all of them. I did more. I worked harder. I accomplished more than any of them accomplished. Yet not I. It really wasn't me, he says. Yet not I, but the grace. It was God's enablement. It was the grace of God that was with me. That's why. Why are you special? Why am I special? It's because of God's enablement in us. And why was Uzziah so special? It was because of God's enablement in him. See, in 2 Corinthians, in Romans chapter 12, it tells us about the grace giftings of God, the natural grace giftings of God that are in you. They're given you by God. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the spiritual and the supernatural abilities that are imparted into you. They're again are given you by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God. And what we accomplish in life is because God let us accomplish it. What we accomplish in life is because God gave us the grace to accomplish it. And what's going to happen here to Uzziah is he's going to turn from thanking God and seeking God. What he's going to do is he's going to turn and think it's his power. That he's got the ability. And God says, never go there. Because when you go there, you're giving a place for that haughty spirit of pride to come into your life and destroy you. So one of the first things we've got to recognize is when we stop praying, we stop seeking God, the spirit of pride is coming in. And we've got to start understanding it. When we start attributing too much to our abilities and not attribute it to God's giving us the abilities to have what we have, we're allowing the Spirit of God to come in. And destruction is imminent. Destruction is going to happen. Now, I want to talk quickly about his parents. It says, just as Amaziah, his father. Also, his father was a king, and his father's father, his grandfather, Uzziah's grandfather, Joash, was a king as well. Both of them started off very, very well. They start out seeking the Lord. Then they begin to accomplish great things. Then they got prideful. And both of them were assassinated. Joash got proudful. God pulled his blessings back, just as he will with anybody. They went to war. Joash was wounded. In his own bed, he was assassinated. His father, Uzziah's father, Amaziah, did the same thing. He got proud. He had some accomplishments. He pulled back from seeking the Lord. He went to a city, and they sent assassins to kill him. So just as his father's is not all that good, what I want you to see and what I want us to see is what you suffer and what you struggle with in your life is coming from your fathers, coming from your parenting and your grandfathers. But what's so sad is what your children are going to suffer and what they're going to struggle with is going to be what you struggle with. And especially in this area of pride, God hates it. And if we don't teach our children how to handle pride and the destructive powers of pride, what we're going to do is bring devastation upon their lives. Now, I want to talk a while about the success of this King Uzziah. He was an amazing person. He did some amazing construction work. It talks about how he rebuilt these cities, not just Jerusalem, but the whole nation. He rebuilt cities all over the place so that the economy could burst, so that everybody could become wealthy, so that the whole nation could prosper. He rebuilt cities so that people could have the visitation from other people and all the trade would happen and so people could prosper. And another thing that he did, and we're going to talk about it, he was military minded. He really built up the military and he conquered his enemies. He conquered his enemies, and then he would force them to pay him taxes, tribute, so that he could finance all the other stuff. He was brilliant. He was a brilliant leader. He is primarily the instrument used to terminate the long arch enemy Philistines of the people of God. He's the primary person that annihilated the Philistines. And I want to read this to you, this verse. In 2 Chronicles 26:8, it says the Ammonites, now they were one of the longtime enemies of the people of God. The Ammonites brought tribute, taxes, unto Uzziah. And his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt. How far? To the border of Egypt. Listen, this is unknown. They had not been this influential and this powerful and this respected since the days of King Solomon and the days of King David. It had been 300 years since they had experienced this kind of economy and this kind of power and this kind of influence. And it says for Egypt, because he, reading on, Egypt, because he had become very, what? Very powerful. Now that is a key word because it's going to be his destruction. Hear what I'm going to say. The thing that you're the most powerful at can be the thing that will destroy you. He became very powerful and he was well known. Now, a point that I want to make and make sure that we all see is that any nation would want a leader like Uzziah. I would love for our country to have a leader like Uzziah, a president like Uzziah. And I don't care if he was 16 years old. I don't care how old he was or how young he was. He was a leader. He got it done. It's been a long, long time since our country's had a leader like this. But any nation would want their prominent leader to be like Uzziah. And another thing that it tells us that he did, that he expanded the cities, he rebuilt cities, but he expanded the military. And he was extremely defense-minded, extremely defense-minded. What he did is he built towers on the walls of Jerusalem so they could see the enemy coming. It was their radar system. But he didn't just stop with the towers of Jerusalem. He sent people out into the wilderness, into the desert to build towers. So that when the enemy invaded, they had a head start. They knew they were coming and they could probably intercept them before they ever got to Jerusalem. He was military and defense minded. He built up the walls of Jerusalem so that if they did reach Jerusalem, they would have difficulty breaching the wall. But the main thing that he did is he increased the army. It was amazing what he did. He had 2,600 commanders, just commanders, well-trained commanders. So he had the command all lined up. But what he did is he had 307,500 troops. 307,500 troops. Now, when I read that, I'm thinking, wow, that seems like a lot for 2,800 years ago. And so I went on Google. I Googled Israel's army today. Do you know what it is today? Their army today is 176,500. Uzziah's was 307,500. Uzziah's army is twice as large as Israel's army is today. Now, Israel's army today has 440,000 in reserve. But just thinking, 2,800 years ago, and you've got this massive of an army? You're a powerful force. And another thing that he did is he made sure they were equipped. They had the best of armor and they had the best weaponry. He supplied them. He was so defensive-minded because he wanted to take care of the people of God. He was thinking about the people of God. Let me read you this scripture as well in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 15, pertaining to this. In Jerusalem, he made machines designed by skillful men for use on the towers and on the corner defenses to shoot arrows and hurl large stones. He was an amazing leader. And what he did is he really had a heart to protect the people of God. He equipped them. He trained them. He armored them. And what any good leader will do is that. What a good leader will do, whether it's a natural leader or a spiritual leader, is they're going to try to their best to equip and to prepare the people for battle and to prepare. I want a leader who will protect me. I want to take the war to them. I don't want them to bring the war to us, right? Yeah, I mean, and this is what he's doing. He's taking care of things. He's an amazing man. He's an amazing leader. If I am a good spiritual leader, what I will do is protect you, number one, but I will also armor you. I will equip you so that you can fight your battles. I will give you the weapons of your warfare, the word of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit. I will do everything because this is what a good leader does. And Uzziah was great. He was great. And another thing he did, and he made sure, is that people had food. It talks there in the passages about him. It talks about how he made sure there was much livestock. There were fields that were productive, and there was a lot of food going on. There were vineyards planted. And the whole economy was just growing and multiplying and prospering. And it was so amazing what he would do. And another thing a good leader will do is make sure that the people have an economy and are fed and become wealthy. And this is what Uzziah wanted to do. I want to make sure that you're fed spiritual food. I want to know that you're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is Uzziah was amazing. He was an amazing, amazing leader, king for these people. Now, in all areas, in all fronts, whether it was domestic or foreign, or whether it was military or economic or whatever, agricultural, in every single front, Uzziah was amazing. He was absolutely amazing. He became a household name. He was mentioned in the same breath as was David, as was Solomon. He brought the nation to its utmost place that it had been in 300 years. He was the man. He was powerful. It was nearly supernatural, wasn't it, what Uzziah did? Now, something begins to happen, and I want to read this verse to you. 2 Chronicles 26, 15. His fame spread far and wide, and he was greatly helped until. Now, we'll finish reading that in a minute, but that's another one of those uh-oh verses, right? Here he was. He's this prodigy king, this prodigy boy, who was the 16-year-old, but he became the most respected, the most influential. He became the most powerful, the most prosperous, the most successful. He became the wealthiest, and he became the most supernatural king since Solomon and David. He became something very special. And this is where the door to pride opens up and comes in. Something begins to happen. Let me finish. Let me read you this. 2 Chronicles 26, 5. Do you remember why he was prosperous? Why did God say, I will bless him? Let's read it. In 26, 5. He sought God during the days of Zechariah. Now, that is the ultimate teacher. He would be the greatest prophetic ministry around. During the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God, as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. The Lord was responsible for Uzziah's success and for the success of this nation. It was God who did it. He was unprecedented. Uzziah was amazing. Now let's finish reading that 15th verse. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. He became prosperous. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride, his what? His pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful. He stopped seeking God. He was unfaithful to the Lord, his God. See, he believed that his great accomplishments was from his power. He began thinking that he was really, really, really special. And what he began doing was going down the same paths just as his father and his grandfather. He was going down the same path. He was heading for the same destruction. And here's what I want to ask you. Can a person who is really seeking God, who has sat under the greatest of teaching ministries, has been so blessed of God, experienced the prosperities of God, accomplished so much, can this person become prideful and stop seeking God? Yeah. But what happens when we do? This is what I want us to get today. This is the thing. See, and God has warned us about this way more than 2,800 years ago. It goes all the way back to the times of Moses, 3,500 years ago. I mean, this goes way back. God has warned us about pride and its destructive powers. Let me read you this in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, beginning at verse 11. The Lord God says, be careful. Here's a warning. Be careful that you do not forget. Do not stop seeking. Do not forget the Lord your God. Now, here's what forgetting the Lord your God means. It's failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. That's what forgetting about the Lord is. That's what not seeking the Lord is not doing what we know we should do. He says, otherwise, if you do, here's what's going to happen in your life. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, you know, when you got plenty and your belly's full, when you build fine houses, oh my, and settle down, when things are just going so well for you and for your family and everything, and when your herds and flocks grow large. Now, we're not so interested in herds and flocks, but we like our cars and our trucks and our boats, and we like our houses. We like a lot of things, and we're talking about possessions. When your possessions are just doing so well, and your gold increases, you know, when you get a little money put in the bank, and all you have is multiplied, man, when you're just so prosperous and everything's going well, then your heart will become what? Proud. And you will no longer, now let me read this again. And you will forget the Lord your God. Now I want to read that again. Then your heart might become proud. What? It will become proud. It's not optional. When you prosper, you will become proud. And he goes on, and you will forget the Lord your God. The natural response to prosperity is pride. The more God blesses us, the more proudful we become. The more God blesses us, the less we need God. And we forget about God. And when that happens, we're setting ourselves up for a leprous moment. That's our title. All right, let me go on. He goes on here. That's good right there, wasn't it? That's good. Deuteronomy 8:17. Write down, he's talking more about it. I just didn't want to read all that. God says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. That's what Uzziah became powerful. And we start saying, it's my strength, it's my abilities, it's my power has produced this wealth for me, this success for me. But remember, the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability, it's his grace, it's he that gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is today. God promises you, if you will follow me, if you will obey me, if you will keep me, if you will seek after my commandments, if you will seek after me and study after me and do what you know I want you to do, then I will prosper you. I will bless you. That's my covenant with you. But what you're going to do is you're going to forget about me. He goes on to confirm his covenant, which he swore to his fathers in this day. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them. And we don't worship and bow down to Baal and Ashtaroth and Molech. We don't do that. That's not what we do in our society. But what we follow after and what we bow down to is money, the god of mammon, and the god of self-gratification. And I'm not just talking sensually, but just what we want, what we think will gratify us. That's what we chase after. That's what we study after. He said, if you ever do that, I testify. Now, this is strong language. I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. We don't understand the destructive powers of pride. We just don't get it. We never understand it. We don't teach our children to not be prideful. We learn these things. We get these things from watching people, our parents and others, be prideful. But they bring about destruction in our lives. We don't realize the destructive powers of pride. And we've been talking about this. This is our third lesson. We've learned that when pride comes upon us, that it shuts out God. And it shuts out people. It causes us to be haughty. It causes us to have this haughty spirit. We get above people and we see, it lessens the value of people to us. We've seen how it has this power to shut out God and shut out people in our lives. But now what we're seeing is it has this power to cause us to forget about God. Even though God is prospering us. Even though God has given us all this ability, it has the power. When pride comes into our life and we stop seeking God, it has the power to cause us to forget about God. Has the power to bring us into destruction. It's not something that might happen in your life. This is something you will struggle with. The more you prosper, the less you need God. And this is what happened to Uzziah. And it happens to every single one of us. Every one of us. You know, pride tells us. What's wrong with a little pride? What's wrong with pride? Delbert, I mean, don't I have the right to be a little proudful? I mean, just think about it. I mean, I'm respected. I've worked hard for respect. I'm influential. I've worked hard. Is there anything wrong with being influential? Is there anything wrong with having possessions? Is there anything wrong with having some power and be able to get things done that you want to get done? Is there anything wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with success? I've worked hard all my life to be successful like I am. Is there something wrong with that? What's wrong with a little pride? Is there anything wrong with being wealthy? I've worked hard. I've disciplined myself with my spending, and I've got some money saved, and I'm happy about this. Shouldn't I be a little proud of myself? I know there are some supernatural aspects of it, and yes, but is it wrong to be prideful of the supernatural? Is there anything wrong to be proud of my clothes? Is there anything wrong to be proud of my possessions, my car, my house, my truck, my boat, my whatever things I've got? Is there anything wrong with that? Is there anything wrong to be proud of my abilities that I've got? Is there anything wrong to be proud of my family? I mean, look at my family. Look at everybody else's family. Then look at my family. Shouldn't I be proud of my family? Is there anything wrong, Delbert, with my education, being educated? Is there anything wrong? Shouldn't I be proud that I went through school and that I went through college? Shouldn't I be proud? Shouldn't I be proud of my success? Shouldn't I? Let me ask you, is there anything wrong with having nice things? Nothing. Is there anything wrong with having a nice family? No. No. But see, when you think you did it, when you think it's all because of you, you're in trouble. The spirit of pride has come. When you think your wealth is because you're so smart and you're so talented, look out. Some negative stuff is about to happen, and you're about to have it, a moment of leprosy, a leprous moment. Now, here's how this all rolls out. See, this is what happened to Uzziah. Uzziah had forgotten the Lord, and he had become unfaithful to the Lord. He had forgotten to seek the Lord. And what happened is he's a perfect picture of pride and what happens to anyone who becomes prideful. He came to the place of thinking that he was so special, that all of these talents and all of these abilities and all of this was his, that he brought everything there. The nation was because of him. He is because of he being so special. That's what he thought. He felt like it was all because of his abilities and his power. His power had caused all this to happen. And he began to think that he was above the law. He didn't have to obey and live by the rules that everybody else had to obey because he was special. He could do anything he wanted to because he was king. And he was powerful. He didn't have to live like everybody else and obey the rules that everybody else had to obey. He was King Uzziah. Look at all he had accomplished. I mean, just look around. Look at this nation. Look at the economy. Look at the military. Look at everything. Look at the wealth of people. Not just my wealth, but everybody's wealth. Look at everything. Look at how great things are. I'm pretty powerful. In fact, I'm so powerful, I don't need God. God needs me. I mean, I'm irreplaceable. Who can do what I have done? God can't even replace me. God needs me more than I need God. This is where he'd come with his power. Here's how it rolls out. 2 Chronicles 26:16. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord, his God. And here's how it rolled out. And entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah the priest, and I'll explain this a little bit in just a second. Azariah the priest with 80 other courageous priests. Now this is pretty courageous because these guys are going to stand in the face of the king. The most powerful person in their sphere. They're going to stand in his face and tell him he can't come in there. So there are 81 people tried to stop him. A priest of the Lord followed him in. They confronted him and said, "It's not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priest, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful." Who did they think they were talking to? They weren't just talking to anybody. What do you think Uzziah is experiencing now? What do you think? What do you think he's? Do you think he's happy with this? Or watch what happens. And you will not be honored by the Lord. Now, he is angry, and I'm going to show you this in just a second. But I got to tell you just a little bit about this priest thing. See, in the old covenant, in the Levitical law, The only people that could go into the temple and minister were the sons of Aaron. The Levites, the sons of Aaron, they could go in. Aaron was Moses' brother. He was the first high priest. And all the priests that could minister inside the temple had to come from his lineage. Right? Only him. And God was emphatic about that. Huh? All right, Lord, I'm trying my best. God was emphatic about that. Over and over, and I got you all these references here. You can search this out for yourself. And that was the old covenant. Jesus hadn't come yet. Jesus changed all that. You don't have to have a priest. And I just want to make sure we understand that this is the way they had to do it. This was the law. This was the rules. He wasn't supposed to go in there. That was the rule. But he was above the law. He was above the rules. He didn't have to live like everybody else. You don't have to have a priest. Now, some gatherings call themselves priests. But we don't have priests in the New Testament. You can look it up. You can see for yourself. You don't need a priest. You don't need somebody to confess your sins to. You don't need somebody to burn incense for you or pray for you. What you can do is you can go boldly before the throne of grace and find grace and mercy to help in a time of need. You can do that. You don't need a priest, right? You have a high priest, but his name is Jesus. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father God, to ever living, to make intercessions for you. You don't have a priest. Now, but Jesus hadn't come yet. Jesus hadn't corrected that yet. At the time of Uzziah, he had to do it the right way. He was supposed to do it the way the rules said. But not Uzziah. Uzziah was special. He didn't have to. He could do anything he wanted to do. Here's what it says. 26:19. Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn incense, became angry while he was raging. He is on fire angry. He is raging. His face is red. He's screaming. He's yelling. He's gone ballistic. While he was doing this at the priest, while he's screaming at the priest, in their presence before the incense altar of the Lord's in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. While he was doing it. Oh my goodness. 81 people attempted to stop him from making the biggest mistake he would ever make in his life. Did he listen to them? Why? Pride. When pride gets you, you won't listen to anybody. I don't care who or how many try to stop you from making the biggest mistake you'll ever make in your life. They can't stop you. Nobody could stop him. And Uzziah went ballistic. He lost it. Who do you think you are? Do you know who I... What do you mean the Lord won't honor me? I am Uzziah. I am irreplaceable. Look around. Look what all I have accomplished. What have you accomplished? You haven't accomplished anything. Look what all I have done. Who do you think you are? I can do anything I want to do. And while he's railing and while he's raging at these priests, God says, enough. Enough. He crossed the line with God. Now, God has a line. It's invisible. We don't ever know where it is. But there's a line. When you cross it, the hammer comes down. And it will happen every single time. It's like walking towards a cliff. You know, you walk along, walking towards a cliff. Everything's fine. Nothing changes. You're just walking along. And you get closer and closer to the cliff. It's like doing the things of God. We know what we're supposed to do, and we're just walking along. We stop doing it. We stop seeking the Lord. It doesn't seem like anything happens. We're just walking along. Everything's going well. Everything's fine. I can do anything. Look at me. And we get closer and closer to the cliff. And we come to the place of one step. One step. We take that last step. And we go off the cliff. And it's going to leave a mark. And it's going to leave a mark for the rest of your life. You're going to be injured because of this pride. For the rest of your life. And this is what happened to Uzziah. Let's read on. 2 Chronicles 26:20. When Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests, all 81 of them, looked at him, and they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave. I guess so. Why? Because the Lord had afflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous, and excluded from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the Lord. 81 people attempted to stop him from making this huge mistake. Leprosy would have never happened if he just listened to one of them. But when pride comes, the spirit of pride, it possesses us. And no one can tell us anything because we're so powerful. We do this in our lives. There's 81 steps to the edge of the cliff. We finally get there. Take that last step and it leaves a mark for the rest of our lives. Fall off the cliff. It's a leprous moment. And he was forced now to listen to those he raged at. He could not even come out in public unless they approved him, unless they inspected him and said he was clean. He never got to go into the temple again because he raged at the priest. It leaves a mark that will be with us for the rest of our days. So in what area are you a raging star? Whatever you're alive, are you a raging star? Where is it that you rage? No one can tell you anything to do. You don't need God. You're too important. You're too powerful. You're too influential. You're irreplaceable. Where is that in your life? Where is it? Where is it in your life that no one can correct you? No one. Where is it in your life that God needs you because you're so special? Where is it in our life where we say, look at me. Look at how I dress. Look at what I drive. Look at my house. Look at me. Look at my family. Look at my education. Look at me. Where is it? Because what's about to happen to you is you're about to step off the cliff. And you're about to have a leprous moment. And it's going to leave a mark for the rest of your life. Or we can do what we should have done. What Uzziah should have done. We should have backed away from the cliff. Said, whoa. I gotta get this straightened out. I've got to go back and remember. Because it's going to come on you. And you're going to be tempted to go with pride. But you've got to say, no. I got to back off. I have what I have because of the grace of God. I am what I am because of the grace of God. I have the family I have because of the family I've got. I have the clothes I have because of the grace of God. I've got the house I have because of the grace of God. I've got the vehicles that I drive because of the grace of God. I've got the education I've got because of the grace of God. I've got the success I've got because of the grace of God. I've got what power and influence I have because of the grace of God. That's what I am because of the grace of God. Lord, I know that it's because you gave me the power. You gave me the ability to make this wealth and to be the successful. I humble myself, as Peter said, before the mighty hand of God, so that he can exalt me in due season. I don't want a leprous moment. Let me say this. I don't want another leprous moment. How about you? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Your word is so amazing. So clear. Why can't we hear it? Why can't we get a handle on it? Why has it been 3,500 years and we still don't understand the devastating and destructive power of pride? Will you help us? Will you help us get a handle on this thing and stop it from causing leprous moments in our lives that cause us to hibernate, cause us to seclude from society, cause us not even to be able to come boldly before the throne of grace? Help us, Father, understand the destructive power of pride. And I pray every single person here hears this, and we avoid leprous moments.